This is Vern Casper. Party Line was put on the air to give voice to problem solving in our community.
Talking local on WILO.
The Party Line Crew.
This is Party Line on WILO, at your side since 1960. This is your forum for public opinion and comment. The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of WILO management, employees, or sponsors. Now let's join Party Line on WILO.
Oh, TGIF. Welcome. TGIF extended weekend. That's even better.
Possibly.
Fingers crossed. Come on, Mel.
I know what my weekend's going to look like. It's going to look a lot different than yours. So,
well, but I don't know about that.
It is what it is, you know.
Anyway, welcome to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 1027 Party Line, presented by TC Trailers. If you're not pulling a TC trailer, you're not pulling your weight. Ivy Tech Community College, changing lives. Big O Tires in Lebanon, big deals. Save money now and 24/7 at WeLoveBigDeals.com. And Clinton Carroll, BooneCountyDailyNews.com, your free local online newspaper. The online telecast at HoosierlandTV.com, that's brought to you by the good folks at 51 West Event Center, the Farmers Bank, Shoop's Country Foods, Culligan Water of Boone and Clinton County, Day and Ginda Funeral Home, Solidarity Community Federal Credit Union, Sam I Am Carpet Cleaning, Big O Tires in Lebanon, Arborwood by Shoop's, Welty Exteriors, Newell Gas, Wesley Manor Retirement Community, Stone Alley Hardware and Industrial Supply, the Community Foundation, serving Howard, Clinton, and Carroll Counties. And by the way, if you are friends with the Community Foundation, today is the retirement party for Lucinda, who's been there 35 years. So if you are inclined, you can go over. And it's just a roll in and roll out. It's not a set time this afternoon, but it is a roll in and roll out event. Simplify Family Dental, Tornado Roofing, Siding and Gutters, Witham Health Services, Ellis Jewelers, Marshan's Window Tinting, VFW Post 1110 in Frankfurt, Copper Electric Services, LLC, Braden Business Systems, Avery Home Store, Jerry's Body Shop, Lanen's Furniture and Mattress, and Mann Chevrolet GMC in Delphi. We have a couple of things to remind folks about. Today is with the Senior Olympics, brought to you by our friends at Day and Ginda Funeral Home. Phase 10, that starts at 10 o'clock this morning at the Wesley Manor Event Center. And then Shuffleboard this afternoon, that's also at the Wesley Manor Social Center. So that's what's happening today with the Senior Olympics. And then we just have next week left. I can't believe the whole month.
Yeah, it's gone quick.
Woo! You know what that means? Quick. School will be out for the kids. We think today is the last day for all
for
of our...
For the majority of them, yes.
All, at least close to being all. I know some of the Indianapolis schools said they're going next week. Did you see on the news this morning where someone stole all one district school buses, all of the catalytic converters?
You're kidding.
So they had an emergency thing this morning saying, hey, if you can't get your kids to school because we don't have a bus to get them there, they won't be penalized. But yes, so now they've got, and they have next week left with school, so they'll have to figure out how to get the kids to school next week. But all the catalytic converters on those buses got stolen. And by the way, the Kyle Busch family.
Yes.
Sad to hear that news this morning that he passed away unexpectedly and very suddenly after a brief illness.
Yeah, we were, honestly, we were watching the race where he called there at the very end of the race. He called his crew and said, have the medical team meet me at the trailer, and that's the last
man
thing
sad
anybody heard
only
from me.
41 years old,
yeah,
young children. So you know, our hearts and prayers go out to his family as well. Speaking of the race, we have some weather implications this weekend.
Good possibility. I mean, we're looking here, we might see a little more sunshine than they do in Speedway, where it's going to be touch and go. Temperatures are going to be fantastic in the 70s and cloudy conditions, so that means that track's not going to heat up, but it could be wet. We're not looking at downpours. We're not looking at washouts, but it could impact because a lot of the rain they're talking about coming in around race time.
Yeah, it says under IndyCar policy regarding the potential for inclement weather on race day, It is possible that a race time could be moved to earlier in the day, usually by 1 hour. This notice may come to us less than 24 hours prior to the originally scheduled start time. Should this occur, the network will do a lot of things to kind of let everyone know. But
yeah.
Mel is completely on top of all of that this weekend and keeping her eyes all over that. So we are planning on carrying the race as we have for many, many years.
And the pre-race, we actually start at 10, which means if they decide to move everything up, that means we're going to be moving up to 9 o'clock in the morning for pre-race. And unfortunately, we will not be able to carry the church services if that happens. Presbyterian already knows that we won't be carrying their church service live, and St. Matt is on standby. They know too, so that the possibilities are there. I mean, it's a community effort. Everybody loves the 500, so even our churches are behind us.
They're praying for us, so at the very least, right?
And praying for good weather so that we don't have to remove the whole race to Monday, but it is a possibility.
And we do have a guest on the line. We want to get to her as quickly as we can, but there were some items of business we had to let you know about this morning. The caucus for the Clinton County Sheriff that was scheduled for tomorrow has been canceled. I think there was only one person that put in any kind of letter of intent is what it is. So there was only one person that put in a letter of intent. So there will be no caucus tomorrow. So just wanted to let folks know about that as well in case they were planning on showing up to that.
Yep.
All right. You want to get to our guest?
Yes, we need to. Very much so. Hello.
I lost my papers.
Did you lose your papers?
Yes.
Curse, I'm telling you, she's not organized, neither am I, so you're on your own.
No, we wouldn't do that to her. I mean, you know, anytime you're with me and Mel, it's always a little sketchy, but we're happy to have you with us this morning.
That's okay. I like to say that I am a disorganized organizer, so I can handle it.
I love that. Kirsten Walmsley is the director and coordinator of the Thorntown Heritage Museum. We appreciate you joining us today.
And absolutely. I'm glad to talk about what we've got going on.
Yeah, you've got a lot going on between the museum and then also the library, because you are also the librarian.
Yes. I am the local history librarian, and we've got summer reading coming up, which is so exciting, but a super busy time.
Well, let's just start going down the list, because I mean, I printed out the calendar, and even the short condensed version for a for a month is three legal size pages, so three or four or so. But the big thing is coming up this weekend, your Memorial Day service. You want to talk about that?
Yes. So the Thorntown Heritage Museum has stepped up to host a Memorial Day service for Thorntown. Typically, the American Legion Post is in charge of doing that. Unfortunately, with many organizations, they just didn't have the numbers to host their service again this year. And we didn't want to lose that legacy or lose that service in our community. So we've rallied people in to make a very simplified service happen. We're going to have a guest speaker, who is Tom Melville, who is a retired law enforcement officer more than 40 years, who's going to come and speak. And we're going to have many veterans there, someone who will share some things. It's just going to be a nice day of remembrance. I'm going to share some stories of some Civil War veterans who were killed in action, since Memorial Day dates back to the Civil War. We've got two buried in Thorntown who were killed in the Civil War. Well, one technically is buried, the other was lost at sea, but, you know, we've got those stories to share, and that also serves as our opening day for the season, but our service will start at 10 o'clock on the museum's lawn. We are preparing to put up a canopy in case it rains. We're hoping it does not do that, of course, because Brace Day and everything going on Sunday, but we're going to be prepared. We're going to have refreshments. It's going to be maybe a 45-minute to an hour-long service, so it won't take up the entirety of your day. You can still take off and go spend the day with your family. And then after the service, we'll open the museum for the season. It is our opening season open house, and we have three new exhibits this year. We've completely remodeled our Thorntown School history exhibit, our Native American history exhibit with two new collections, from the Gross family and the American Indian Council of Boone County, as well as a exhibit dedicated to America 250. We have many reproductions of revolutionary flags and battle flags that we'll be able to share and show with everybody, and we're really excited to show those off.
You guys always just plan to the nines. I mean,
literally.
And I don't think people realize just what a gem you have over there in Thorntown, because everybody thinks Thorntown's such a small community, and you have such an amazing museum. The history over in Thorntown is crazy. And I also know you're part of DAR, so you're getting it heavy into that too as well.
Absolutely. I wear many volunteer and community hats. Some say I might be stretching a little thin, but I love to be out there helping everybody. So.
Well, you talked about this being the open house for the museum. What are going to be the summer hours for the museum?
So we are open every Saturday starting on, I think that's the 30th or 31st. I don't have the calendar.
It's the 30th. Gotcha.
30th, yes. Every Saturday from then until the end of September from 11 to 3. But we are always available for weekday appointments. You just have to give me a call at the library. That's 765-436-7348. You can also message us on our Facebook page or send in an email to the library or one of our staff, and we can get somebody over. We can schedule an appointment. We can do group tours as well. We couldn't do like 30 people at a time, but maybe 10, 15 at a time. So if you've got an organization or, we've had groups from adult day services come and look. We've had some from some senior nursing homes come in. So we can accommodate if you're looking to give your residents and your patrons a place to learn some history.
Kirsten Walmsley is the director coordinator of the Thorntown Heritage Museum, and I want to talk about some your new exhibits a little bit. Talk about some of the items in there that you think are especially cool that folks would like to see for each exhibit.
Absolutely. So, like I mentioned, the America 250 exhibit, we've got not only the Betsy Ross flag, we have several flags that don't have, our 50 stars on it. And different battle flags. I believe we have a Battle of Bedford flag, which is really neat. And we've got campaign buttons from previous presidencies. We've got a very large statue of George Washington, which I think is really fun. So I like to put him out there because I think people should absolutely come and take pictures with George.
I love that.
Because he's just a great person to take pictures with.
Absolutely. Who wouldn't want that?
I mean, he's taller than me, and I'm about 5'5", so he's a pretty tall statue. So the flags are really kind of the highlight of that America 250 exhibit. For our Native collection, that Gross family collection that we received last fall is full of artifacts. It's non-ceremonial items. Of course, we didn't want to accept anything that would, have ceremonial ties to any tribes. But it represents the Great Lakes region, which is kind of new for our collection. Previously, a lot of our stuff was, the Western things, Oklahoma, New Mexico, because those are the easily identifiable Native American artifacts. But we have a nice, beautiful collection of Great Lakes region items, beautiful beadwork, beautiful bags, many different styles of regalia. I've even put up my own that I can no longer wear in there, so it gives a modern look as well as more of a vintage, I guess to say, look to those exhibits. And it's just really wonderful. We've expanded the room. We've almost doubled its size, which is super important considering the Eau River Miami tribe was the first residents of Thorntown. So we really want to make sure we're honoring that legacy for our community. We are walking literally in their footsteps. So we cannot forget that. And then our school exhibit, we've just kind of moved it around a little bit, pulled some new stuff out. We have many, many yearbooks dating all the way back to 1915 for Thorntown High School. We have photos of original schoolhouses in there. We have uniforms from schools that have long closed and consolidated into what is now Western Boone. We have the 1915 basketball trophy, which is so cool to look at. The story behind that trophy is that the team lost the actual trophy on the way home from their game in 1915. And so the coach felt so bad, he took the sectional ball and the championship ball, cut them in half, and put them on a wooden plaque so that the team had something to honor their winnings. And so that part of that is an exhibit with the Boone County Basketball Hall of Fame, which most people don't know that we have, but we do have that, and we're able to house some of their items. And as soon as we finish our barn, which is happening finally this summer, for those of you who have followed on my updates on that, we'll be able to put a full Boone County Basketball Hall of Fame exhibit in our museum.
How do you lose a whole trophy?
Nobody really knows what happened. I have a guess that somebody took it, and now they've just been long afraid, you know, they're gone, they were afraid to admit it, their family's afraid to admit it. Very similar with the Thorntown Gorilla story, which we don't have time for today, but I think somebody still
I
got to
hear
that
later,
that
okay? We want to hear that at a different time. I have a question.
Oh, absolutely. Yes.
What happens to exhibits or items that you have, and then, you know, because we know you change things up, so what happens to those things that you remove or take away to make room for other things? Is there storage, or what happens to those things?
Yeah, we have a very small storage where we can rotate things in and out. Some things, very few things, we have on loan, so we return those at the end of the season. For example, my grandfather has a few things in our Native American history room that when we decide to change it up, they'll go back to him. But most of them just get very carefully packaged away and put in storage. Particularly with some of those really old artifacts, it's really important that we rotate those off out of the way of dust and, you know, germs and sunlight, because it can deteriorate them. And so some things have to be rotated off more often than others for their protection. You'll see that a lot, really, in those really big museums, like the Adeljorg, for example. I just recently visited them because I love visiting museums to see how I can improve ours. But those items have to be rotated for their protection. But we store them away very carefully and safely, so that we can bring them out in the future.
Well, talk about the barn. I mean, in major excitement, all the fundraising has finally come to fruition.
And how much how many dollars was it? It was a lot, I know that.
It was so much. And it's amazing because we had our fundraiser on May 2nd, and we got so much money poured into that. We had nearly 100 people there. Shoops gave us an incredible meal. Thank you, Shoops, for that. I have heard nothing but good things, and I may have given you some new customers who had never heard of you before. But it was an absolutely amazing event, almost 100 people. And through that event alone, we raised over $7,000. And
wow.
We only needed $3,000 to finish the barn fundraising. And since then, I've still gotten donations coming in, and we've raised over $9,000, almost $9,000 additional to fix the barn. And so finally, after a really long time of us working on this summer, they're finally going to get the work done in late June, early July, and we're going to be able to get that barn open, hopefully, for our 2027 season. I'm not putting too much pressure on it for 2026, but I think we can at least open it for people to see what we've done and see the space this fall. But we're really excited. We're finally able to make it happen and expand the museum, and we'll be able to offer so much more to people who can't access certain items right now because they have to use a walker or a wheelchair, or simply because our stairs to our basement are kind of scary. They are nearly 200 years old.
That'll be the next fundraiser, right?
Well, I'm hoping we can move most of it out into the barn, and not have to, you know, use those stairs. That could increase our storage capacity. So then we can have even more things that we can bring and offer people. I sadly have to turn away some donations because we simply don't have the space. But this expansion is going to allow us to accept more items to share with our community, and we're really excited about that.
Kirsten Wamsley is the director coordinator of the Thorntown Heritage Museum. And I'm curious, you say you don't have room for things, or unfortunately, sometimes you have to turn things away. What's something you would love to see come in, or something that you were just really sad that you did have to turn away?
Ooh, great question. Well, most of the time right now, I'm turning away arrowheads. You would not believe the amount of those. But that's not really a space thing. But there have been a few pieces of furniture that are really, really antique pieces of furniture that I've been unable to take. There was a beautiful cabinet that was made here in Boone County in the mid-1900s by a company that is no longer around. I really wanted to be able to buy this and bring it into the building, but we simply didn't have the room. Every day somebody's coming in with something new and something great to share. We just got a Japanese battle flag from World War II that has the names of battalions, and a local resident was in that battalion. And I have no space to hang this, but I couldn't bear to turn that away, so it's just kind of hanging out. So it's that kind of thing. We are in a very small house that was built in 1860s. It was not designed to be a museum. It was designed to be a home. So it's not built to be super big, but we love our space, and we will not adjust that space by any means.
What kind of budget do you work with? You were talking about buying some things and trying to continue to improve. What kind of budget do you work with there?
We are solely on donations. So it is a very limited budget. Most of our donations come in as memberships. It's only $10 a year for memberships. We don't have a whole lot of perks. We are small and local, but I do put out a yearly calendar full of Thorntown history that is free with your membership, so that's really great. But we operate really on those memberships and our fundraising events. We have a ice cream social every August, the first weekend of August. This year it's August 1st, and it is free to come in. We just ask that you make a donation. We have music, we have ice cream, we have yard games. So that's really how we operate. We are in the process of developing a gift shop to help increase our revenue so we can keep maintaining and preserving the house, have more funds, you know, to buy things at auction. Some people don't realize we're there, and so things end up going in auction when their loved ones pass, and they don't know to bring it to us at the museum. We've been fortunate that a lot of our residents who we've lost recently, like Thelma Theobald, may she rest in peace, left something in her her wishes that many items came to us at the museum. But there are cases where that's not the case. So we really operate on donations from our community to make it happen. So
yeah, these are like little treasure troves. You know, these little museums like you have there really are some of the coolest pieces. I mean, if you could just travel around and check out, and if people could come into our communities and check out these little museums, they would find some really cool stuff.
Oh, there's so many cool things. There's businesses you've never even known were in our community. I mean, Thorntown, we don't really have a whole lot of big businesses. We've got some restaurants, we've got boutiques, and it's a great small community. But once upon a time, we had many, many mechanics. We had furniture builders. We had brick makers. We had so many different artisans that we don't have now, but we've got pieces of that in the museum. And some people don't even realize Thorntown had an amusement park. Old Indiana was right outside of Thorntown.
I forgot all about that.
And we have tickets and brochures and many pieces from Old Indiana. And, you know, there's kids nowadays who are like, we had an amusement park? Yep. Absolutely, we did. Let me show you this ticket from Old Indiana.
Yep, right off of 47.
Yes.
Do you know what the last year Old Indiana operated was?
I want to say it was 96. It was 96, 95, because it was right before I was born. Shame.
Okay.
so.
Yeah, I remember going there, but then.
Thanks for that reminder. Yeah, no, my husband's family, part of his family were investors in that. And we went, I mean, we had like season passes, and we went every year, took the kids and everything. So, yeah, right off of 47.
It's really heartbreaking that we had to lose that in the community. But I know there was a lot of tragedy surrounding those final days. So, you know, I understand. Rumor has it there are still pieces of those old rides on the property.
Yeah, that may not be rumor.
But I haven't been able to get in there to see it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
That'd be cool to have something that you could squeeze in that's a piece of the ride and make it something.
Yeah, a lot of it was sold off, but there are a few things still back there, yes.
It would be great. We have some circus wheels from a traveling circus that is no longer around, and that's an example of we don't have the space. They wanted to give us their whole carriage.
Oh man.
Their whole carriage, but of course we did not have the space at the time. We didn't even have the barn, so we have two wheels, which are very large, But that's, you know, that's an example of we need, you know, to have the space so we can have those really neat things.
How long do you think before you fill the barn up now? Because, again, if you can get some of these really cool items, we're going to be looking for another space soon.
I don't know. Give me 5 minutes.
I believe that. I believe that.
I have some great ideas. And everybody's like, ooh, what can I put in there? How can we help expand it? And I'm like, so many things. Because we've got someone who does antiques that has old tractor things. Old farm equipment. We have a giant hay bale that, since we bought the barn, a hay baler that we're able to have in the barn. So it won't take long, but we'll try to keep it minimal so we can still use the space for programs.
Well, I don't think a membership fee of $10 is too bad. So I think if people are interested in helping their community, $10 seems like a small price to pay to keep some of these cool local artifacts right where they belong.
Absolutely, and we've recently discovered a fundraising platform. It's called Zephy, that we get 100% of the donations given to us. It is specifically for nonprofits, so it's not like Square, where Square takes the money off the top. Zephy takes their fees from people donating to Zephy to keep it free for nonprofits. So if you give us that $10, we get every penny. Rest in peace, the penny of that $10. So, and it's really easy to find too. I've even tested it. So if you go in and search Zephy, it's Z-E-S-S-Y, and then you type in Sugar Creek Historical Society, you will find all of our campaigns that we've got going. You know, we've got generic donations, we've got our memberships, and then you can also, with Zephy, have that $10 come out of your account every single year, and you don't have to remember to renew your membership.
Well,
so that's really good.
Yeah, that is. That's fantastic. Well, Kirsten, I know we're getting close on time, but let's do really quickly just a few things that are coming up within the next couple of weeks. The museum is fantastic, and you're going to be grand opening and for the summer and everything. But you also are tied with the library, and good grief. When do you sleep? And I know you've got kids.
I sleep probably between 2 a.m. and 7 a.m.
If you're lucky.
If I'm lucky. So summer reading starts on July 1st. We have so many things going on, animal shows, magic shows. Everybody's favorite, the color run, where we have kids run around our park and we squirt them with water and pretty colored tie-dye stuff, and they come home with a beautiful tie-dye t-shirt. Our carnival, which is super fun. Everybody loves that. So many great things happening at the library and there's adult programs. We've got some great art programs for adults. I think the teens have a peace testing challenge, so I'm a little jealous of the teens. So many fun, exciting things going on for the library, for the museum. We have something happening every single month and at the museum and every week at the library. So you cannot get bored coming to the Thorntown Library.
Well, we want to remind everybody that coming up on Monday at the museum there is the Memorial Day service. It will start at 10 o'clock on the museum's front lawn. Guests might want to bring a lawn chair. There is limited seating available. And fingers crossed the weather. I just hope for you guys that the weather holds out at that time of the day for you. But there is going to be a canopy in case it does rain. Following the program then, they'll have the open house to start the 2026 season. If you have questions, how can they get a hold of you?
Well, you can find me on Facebook at Thorntown Heritage Museum. You can send us a message at the Thorntown Library. That number is 765-437-3348. Excuse me. Or you can send me an email. It's kwamsley@tpl.org. So pretty easy to get in touch with us if you have any questions.
You are so fun to have on. Thank you so much. A wealth of information as well. Kirsten Walmsley, Director Coordinator of the Thorntown Heritage Museum. You can find them at 124 North Market Street in Thorntown. And if you have questions, just give her a holler. They're open Saturdays 11 to 3. Did I get all of that right?
It's 124 West Main Street, 124 North Market. Oh. It's the library.
Oh, sorry. There we go. I'm putting everything together.
It's both 124.
Well, it's not that big of a town. Hopefully they can find it.
we are right on the Main Street across from the Christian. You cannot miss it.
Okay, that's what I needed to know, really. Thank you. I'm one of those girls that's across from the fence post or the rock or whatever. So thank you very much, Kirsten.
Absolutely.
Have a great weekend. Thank you for joining us today.
Absolutely. Glad to be here. Let me know when you want to talk more things, especially that Thorntown gorilla.
Yes, I want to hear about that someday. All right, we'll talk to you soon. Have a great weekend.
You as well. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. You're listening to Party Line on WILO and Boone's Best 102.7.